Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
As instructed by the Lord, Moses and his older brother Aaron had visited the Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, and they'd asked that his Israelite slaves be allowed to go 3 days into the wilderness to hold a festival of worship and sacrifice to their living God. Pharaoh responded negatively, and he caused things to get worse for the Israelites. The slaves no longer received straw to make bricks, but they still needed to make the quantities required of them each day, or else they'd be beaten. The slaves were worked to exhaustion and beaten harshly, so they ignored what Moses had further to say to them. Moses became discouraged, and instead of obeying God's next instruction, Moses told God that if the Israelites didn't believe what he said, how could he expect Pharaoh to believe what he told him? God then gave Moses 7 promises for the Israelites, which said that the Israelites would definitely leave Egypt, and God would be their God, and they would be his people. God always keeps his promises, but not everyone believes that this is true. In chapter 7 of the book of Exodus, God started various plagues on the Egyptian people that their gods couldn't control.
And the angel of the Lord spoke with Moses again and commanded him, saying,
Pharaoh shall send for you again, and he will say, Show a miracle. Then shalt thou say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent.
So when Moses was called before Pharaoh, he did as God had commanded him. But Pharaoh's heart did not soften. Neither did he allow the children of Israel to go and worship in the wilderness. Then the angel of the Lord spoke to Moses again, saying,
Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus said the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs.
Then Pharaoh called upon Moses and Aaron and said,
Entreat your Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and my people, and I will let your people go.
And Moses prayed to the Lord, and the Lord listened to Moses, so that the frogs died out of the houses, and out of the villages, and out of the fields. But when Pharaoh saw that the frogs were gone, he forgot his promise, and would not let the people of Israel go. But the Lord wanted Pharaoh and the Egyptians to know and love him.
Our all-knowing God knew that Pharaoh would ask Moses and Aaron for a sign or a miracle to show that they were messengers of God. So Aaron threw down his shepherd's rod, and it became a snake, as it had previous times when God had told Moses to throw his staff on the ground. A snake was the symbol of Egypt, and some pharaohs wore a bronze image of a snake as part of their official clothing. Pharaoh was unimpressed, however. He called for his magicians, and they performed a similar thing, either by sleight of hand or some sort of demonic power. But when Aaron's snake swallowed up all the magician's snakes, it was a sign that God's power was greater than the gods of Egypt. God then started with his 10 plagues. These plagues were to bring judgment on the Egyptians for their cruelty and ungodliness, and finally persuade Pharaoh to let the Israelites go free. They were also proof that the God of the Israelites was the only true God, full of infinite power, holiness, and compassion. By the plagues, God would also become known throughout the entire world and to all successive generations. They were a fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham that he would bring disaster on those who harmed the Israelites. By the time the Israelites did finally leave Egypt, Moses, in Numbers chapter 11, said there were 600,000 men besides the women and children. Pharaoh was naturally unwilling to let so many slaves leave, as his building projects would then come to a complete halt. The plagues grew in severity from irritations to widespread destruction, and then finally death. As the plagues intensified, Pharaoh's officials began to urge him to let the Israelites go. But Pharaoh refused until the last plague. The 10 plagues were in a sense an attack on all the gods of Egypt. The first plague was a plague of blood, and it was similar to one of God's signs Moses had already shown the Israelite elders to convince them that he'd been sent to them by God. But Moses' demonstration of blood had only been a small amount of water from the Nile River. At God's command, Aaron stretched out his hand over the Nile River, which the Egyptians worshipped as the source of life. Not only the river turned to blood, but also all of its streams, canals, and reservoirs also turned to blood. Even the water standing in buckets and in jugs turned to blood. This resulted in the fish in the river dying, and the river soon gave off a terribly bad smell. The Egyptians had to dig along the riverbanks for water to drink, as they couldn't drink any polluted water from the river. Again, Pharaoh was unimpressed. His magicians did the same thing by their secret arts, and Pharaoh was as stubborn as ever, despite the havoc this plague was causing. 7 days after this, the Lord sent Moses to Pharaoh to tell him to let the Israelites go so that they might serve God. Moses warned Pharaoh that if Pharaoh refused, his land would be overrun with frogs. Pharaoh may have disbelieved Moses, but when Moses told Aaron at God's command to stretch out his rod over the rivers, streams, and ponds, a very great number of frogs appeared and they swarmed over the land of Egypt. Only the Israelites living in the land of Goshen were free from the frogs. The Egyptians believed in a goddess that had a frog's head and who assisted in childbirth. All frogs were considered sacred, but the plague of frogs went everywhere, including into people's beds, food bowls, and clothing. Soon the people thought less of their sacred frogs. But Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing, and they caused frogs to appear as well. This time, however, Pharaoh realized that the plague of frogs had only appeared through the power of the Israelites' God. He called for Moses and Aaron, and he asked that they would pray to their God to take away the frogs. He also promised insincerely that he would let the Israelites go to sacrifice the Lord. Moses, in faith, assured Pharaoh that the frogs would be gone by the next day. After leaving Pharaoh's court, Moses cried out to the Lord to remove the frogs, and the Lord answered his prayer. Pharaoh had been forced to admit that Moses' prayers were effective in getting rid of the frogs, so the following day, all the frogs died. The people piled up dead frogs into heaps, and the land smelt something shocking. But while Pharaoh welcomed the relief of not having frogs everywhere, he also changed his mind about letting the Israelites go. Why was Pharaoh so slow to be convinced that the Israelites' God was the only true God? Even when he saw and knew something miraculous had been done by Moses and Aaron, Pharaoh still held his position of unbelief. Some people think that if they see a miracle, they'll believe. The Lord Jesus refuted that argument in Luke chapter 16. A rich man was in torment in the afterlife and begged Abraham to send a previously known beggar called Lazarus back to the world to warn his 5 brothers not to come to the terrible place that he was in. But Jesus said that even if someone were to rise from death, some still won't believe. And this was certainly true of the Lord Jesus himself. How many people around the world disbelieve that Jesus rose from the grave? Many disbelieve that the Lord Jesus is coming back again, even though he said he will be. Doubt or unbelief is the opposite of faith and has consequences. Unbelief will prevent a person from receiving forgiveness for their sins and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we live in this generation and we haven't physically seen Jesus, we need to accept his words in the Bible as truth on such matters. If we don't believe his words, unbelief will prevent us from obtaining salvation and receiving his promises as guarantees in this life and in the life to come. Some ways of preaching the gospel can downplay the consequences of disobedience and sin, and may even regard salvation as somewhat cheap and optional. Salvation is a free gift to everyone who asks for it, but it certainly wasn't cheap. Jesus paid for our sins with his lifeblood, even though he'd never committed one single sin himself. Those who aren't prepared to give up everything they have to follow the Lord Jesus aren't worthy of him. After the initial commitment to Christ in salvation, there follows a lifetime journey of daily dying to self and learning how to live in him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There's a good reason for this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was writing to find out if the people in a church he'd started there had remained true to the Lord Jesus, or if the tempter, Satan, the enemy of their souls, had enticed them away so that Paul's work among them had been destroyed. Any day without taking to the Lord in prayer or reading a passage from the Bible is a day where Satan likes to whisper in the believer's ear something that might sound okay, but is actually tempting that believer to be disloyal to Jesus. Some people, after having become believers in Jesus, find it an uphill battle to keep going in the faith. Giving up their own plans for how they want to live life and follow the Lord's plan for them can be quite humbling. Instead of crucifying pride in their lives and becoming fully dependent on Jesus, they decide to turn back to the world, not fully realizing how much this will cost them later. It's far better to seek out a godly Christian counselor and talk things through than to ignore the issues of faith or seeds of doubt that can linger and undermine our faith in Jesus alone. The disciples of Christ are in a spiritual battle for the rest of their earthly lives. We must guard our hearts diligently and cling to Jesus with our eyes fixed on him so that we don't lose faith in him. And it takes time to learn how to live like this. Many times when we don't see the answer to our prayers, we believe that we lack faith. The issue isn't a lack of faith, but often the presence of unbelief. Unbelief cancels out faith and it renders our prayers ineffective. When we recognize unbelief is in our hearts, we must get rid of it, or it'll stop our faith in how we pray. How many times have you been asked to pray for healing for an elderly believer who's looking forward to being called home to heaven because they have a serious health problem? Do we pray for healing but doubt in our minds that God will heal this person? It's far better to bring the person's name before the Lord in prayer and ask that God's will be done in that person's life than to determine by our prayers how God should answer them. Unbelief can also be present in our lives when we allow negative thoughts to dominate our thinking or when we worry about a situation so much that we can't move beyond the problem and find rest, peace, and a solution in Christ. It's easy to fear that God's word won't help us in our particular situation, or how God has answered or not answered in the past determines how he will or won't in the future. There are different types of unbelief. That person who's ignorant of God's message simply doesn't know any better. But Pharaoh had moved past that. He knew that the Israelite God was more powerful than the Egyptian gods, but he wanted to hold on to his religious traditions and power base over the Israelites. There's also a natural unbelief, where a person focuses on what his five physical senses are telling him without realizing that spiritual things need to be spiritually discerned through the work of God's Holy Spirit. Overcoming unbelief begins with overcoming fear-based thoughts by focusing on God and his promises so that we start to believe what he said to us in his word. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 7 it says, "Today, if you'll hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts."
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.